This is Kilo Oscar 4, Juliet Kilo Victor, Duncan in Asheville, North Carolina, for a radio check. I want to check my power level.
You sound pretty good on this, and a little bit of white noise, but that's it. N4DJC, Jerry and Anderson.
Jerry, I'm using a HT with a Slim Jim dipole out the window, and I'm on maximum power. I was kind of curious to know if I could get into that repeater and be readable on medium power. If you're still listening, would you mind if I turn down to medium and let me know if you can hear me?
You try to tell me on medium, and you might. Sometimes you might even be able to go down to low power, but it depends on how high you are, you know, how you are elevation-wise in Asheville. Yeah, go ahead and turn it to medium.
KO4JKV, Duncan in Asheville on medium power. How am I sounding?
Duncan, you're legible. There's a good bit more noise on it right now. It might be one of those things if you've got... Is it a, what type of dipole is it? Is it just a flexible type dipole?
Switch back up to maximum power. And it's a roll-up dipole. There's a ham that makes it. The name of it is N9TAX. That's his call sign. It's a roll-up dipole, and they work really good. Way better than the whip antenna that you can get, any whip antenna on your HT. But yeah, I was just wanting to know because I was just testing the repeaters and what, you know, power level I can get away with because I don't want to use too much and wear my battery down and all that. But am I sounding okay on maximum power now?
Oh, yeah, you sounded real good. I can see you might be able, since it's a roll-up, I know my brother-in-law has made several antennas. He used to make little roll-up J-poles using TV line, and he made several for me for 440 and for handhelds, and we used it a good bit. But with the dipole, even though you might be able to orient it a different way, it might do better, but you generally just check by your receiving to see which way the dipole is oriented to see if you can see if it receives it, because if it receives better, it's probably going to transmit, because of dipole, you know, since it does, it's not a true omnidirectional. It's got the way the radiation pattern is on them, if I remember correctly. It's been a long time, but since I've used one, you know, it transmits the radiation is each lobe of the dipole is a little different. It kind of radiates out that way. You might be able to move around a little bit, get better, but you sound perfectly legible, and I said just a little bit of white noise on it, and that's about it.
Sounds good. I got a friend that's about ready to get his call sign, and we're going to test our antennas. And, I understand what you're saying about the orientation of the antenna. That has a lot to do with it. And but I have a directional antenna that I've been working with, and... So that'll get me more precise in the signal. But I checked into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net tonight, and I've checked in probably 5 times, but this is the first time it was been really scratchy, and I had to repeat my call sign twice because I was scratchy. But, you know, that's okay because I'm dealing with a 6-watt HT and a roll-up dipole. I'll check that out, and I appreciate the radio check.
And, propagation changes from time to time on 2 meters even, and sometimes you might be able to get into it more solid than others, and who knows, I mean, it's just, could be ducting, triple ducting, a lot of things, something like I can get into the, I can get into Mount Mitchell machine sometimes, and at other times I can't get in it even with a 3-element beam. So that's just the way it goes sometimes. But I operate inside. I'm in an upstairs bedroom, That's just my, it's not my, well, one of my grandkids stay in when they come visit, but some kind of, I'm in a story and a half, probably about 25 feet above ground, and I'm using a Ring of Ranger just mounted on a PVC little stand that I use indoors, because I don't have an external antenna, and I'm just putting it up here just try it out right now, and I'll maybe put up something later on, but it's very convenient for me to move around in the room as I need to, and then I can also hook up a small beam to it, orient the beam to the whichever way I need to point the beam. And but the Ringo does pretty well. It's not very big either. It's, I think it's only about 40 inches tall, and since you don't need a ground plane with it, you can just put on a PVC pipe, and that's it.
That sounds fun. I'm relatively new to ham radio, and so once I discovered this roll-up dipole, it was way better than any type of whippet antenna that I could put on my HD. So I've been using that all the time, but I just got in about 4 days ago. It's called an elk antenna. It's a dual band elk, 2 meter, 70 centimeters, but I guess it excels on 2 meters. And I think I'm probably going to use that. And I can easily get Spivey Mountain, Bear Walla Mountain, and Mount Pisgah. So if I can do that with my HD, I'm feeling okay.
You didn't drop out, but you got real low down in the noise for about 50% of that transmission. The last little bit there, it was loud again. As a matter of fact, an elk is what I use as well, Duncan. I use one for... I use one for satellite work, and also that's what I use indoors here, the little five element. It's basically, it's a log periodic. It's basically a folded, it's basically dipoles, you know, lined up is what they are. And it works really well for me. It's lightweight, and I can swap it around, you know, move it around wherever I need to. But it works really good for the space station and for satellite use too. I usually just orient it about 25 degrees, and when the space station comes around, I can kind of move it as it crosses the sky, mounted on the stand, or sometimes even just handhold it as long as I'm not running too much power. Repeater app, N4DJC Friday.
I got maybe a tenth of that, because there's so much interference, I couldn't really hear much about that, but I appreciate you calling back. Again, my call sign is Kilo Oscar 4, Juliet Kilo Victor. I'm in Duncan in Asheville, and but yeah, I heard a lot of that stuff you're talking about antennas, so I'll look into that. And I've had a horrible time tonight. This is the worst time I've heard had receiving and transmitting to this, but it is the furthest repeater that I've ever gotten into. It's probably close to 30 miles away, but I appreciate it. If you want to come back, that's fine. Maybe you'll come in a little better, but again, this is KO4, JKB, standing by.
And I might have timed the repeater out. I wasn't real sure. I didn't hear squelch tone or the last time I got off, so that may be what it is. But you're sounding better now than you did before. It's kind of going into that. It's definitely propagation is changing probably on your end. And because that is that's a pretty long haul in there, especially if you're just running a dipole. But what I was saying, I have an elk antenna myself. That's exactly what I use when I need to use a beam.
Yeah, you're you're sounding a little bit better this time. And yeah, actually, my wife and I are gonna go to go hike on a mountain and or a park, and I want to try to catch some satellites on my elk antenna. And, I tried it out. I actually aimed it towards the Caesar's Head repeater, and I got great reception. I had to turn it vertically though. I couldn't receive horizontally. I had to turn it vertically, but it's a great antenna.
Most FM work, most FM antennas are vertical, polarized, and if you turn the antenna to horizontal, you lose in probably, maybe, 3 or 4 dB of gain, and that's why you can't work it horizontally. Most horizontal antennas are used for 2 meters and 440 used for VHF single sideband or UHF single sideband, but when you work a satellite, you may have to move the orientation, you may have to move the polarization one way or the other. It tracks across the sky about 9 times out of 10. If you hold it at about, just say from horizontally, you hold it about 45 degrees, you'll be able to catch almost everything that you hear on FM, satellite or on the space station, either one.
Makes sense. And, when I had it horizontal facing the Blue Ridge repeater down there, I got nothing. But if I just turned it vertical, it was crystal clear. And I do know that when you're chasing satellites, they're twisting and turning. You just kind of have to roll with the punches. So I'm prepared for that, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm not really wanting to talk to anybody. I just want to hear the beacon, just to make sure my antenna's working. Well, you've been a big help, and I just like talking to people on the radio. I had a lot of hobbies in my life, music and photography, and I'm almost 50, and I cut my hand open because I was into bushcraft and carving, and I cut 2 tendons, so I can't really play guitar anymore, so ham radio is my new hobby. And I'm here, and I try to check into all the nets that I can check into, because I really enjoy that, even if I don't have a comment. But appreciate you staying around and helping me out a little bit. This is Kilo Oscar Bull, Julie at Kilo Victor, Duncan in Nashville.
I've been licensed since 1979. I've been active on and off since then, and I was pretty active until about 92 or 93 when I moved down here to Anderson, and just got back active, a little more active the last couple of years, and it's a fun hobby. I've enjoyed a lot of it. But as far as the satellites, the space station, the voice repeater is working on the space station right now. And the downlink on the space station is 437-800, and if you could track it with I think one I use is called ISS detector, an app for your phone, and if you'll start listening if you can follow the tracking app when it starts coming across the horizon, if you'll put it on 437-18, you'll start hearing them pretty loud, because they're running 5 watts on the repeater now, which in years gone by they only ran like maybe a watt or a quarter of a watt, some ridiculous low amount of power. But now the FM voice repeater is running on 5. The APRS digipeater, which is like packet, it's on 10, and it'll be turned on again. Right now it's turned off. It'll be turned on again at the probably the end of January.
I wrote that down to put in 437-800 and 437-18. So I've looked up on some websites and did a little bit of research, and I have an app on my phone where I just kind of know where to be or what to look for, and get the right elevation. If a satellite is too close to the horizon, it might not be worth even bothering. Just wait till it's 45 degrees or above to try to check it out. But yeah, like I said, I'm not one to try to make a communication on it yet. I just want to check out this new elk antenna my mom got me for Christmas. Happy about that. No, I still get presents from mom from Christmas, but yep, I'm happy, and that's what we're doing tomorrow.
That's a good Christmas present. That's a great Christmas present. If you start at 437-810, is this, you know, where if it's come, usually it comes across in this part of the country. It usually comes from the it'll be coming across usually from the southwest, maybe depending on your location, and then sometimes it changes around. You can follow the path of it though, and if you use that ISS detect graph, it'll tell you where in which direction it's coming in. And the elevation that crosses the sky, you should be able to start hearing it about 10 or 15 degrees above the horizon. If you can see the horizon, you don't have any vegetation or buildings in the way. But when you can hear it, it's loud. It sounds like you're on a regular repeater. But, all they do is just exchange call signs and grid squares is all they do for that. There's no real conversation on it, but the uplink on it is 145.990, and you have to have a tone, a 67 hertz tone on the uplink to be able to get into the repeater. And of course, during daylight hours, it's just real busy. Sometimes late at night, it's not quite so busy, but you have to have that tone on the uplink in order to get into the repeater. And then, like I said, the downlink is 437.800 is the center frequency, but you'll have to start out about 810. Is it coming up over the horizon, and you have to run back down, and you have to change it by maybe then moving to 805, then 800, then 795, and 790 as it crosses the sky, because that doppler on the down, since the down length is on UHF, it changes more rapidly than it would if it was like a standard, like a 145 down length.
On the app on my phone, it had a downlink and it was a range. It wasn't a set frequency. So, and I also read somebody that wrote about it. You have to start at one end of the frequency and kind of chase it as it's going. You have to kind of, I don't know, maybe it's because of the Doppler effect, but as it's going, you reduce the number to kind of compensate for the Doppler effect. I'm new to this, so I don't know, but I think as it goes, you have to adjust the frequency. So I'm just constantly kind of moving the antenna with one arm and also kind of adjusting the frequency dial with the other hand. Is that right?
The point usually is it comes up over the rise at 810. Most people just set up that way, Duncan, because most FM ham radios won't go any less than five. You can't get 2.5 on them. Something like 2.5 would be better. Like if you could go from 810 to 87.5. 8.075, but you can't, most of them, unless it's a radio that's got, usually a single sideband, you usually can't get the frequency down, that frequency steps that small. So most people just have the uplink programmed in one memory and keep that uplink, and then the downlink, they have the downlink so they can change it as it goes, because the uplink generally for the especially the 2 meter portion of it, if it's an uplink, 2 meter uplink, it changes some, but it doesn't change enough to make a lot of difference.
Right, that was super helpful. I really appreciate that, and I've really dedicated the whole afternoon into trying to at least hear a satellite tomorrow. So I have all that written down. Thank you very much, and I want to try that. I appreciate it.
You can get someplace where you got a little elevation where you can see the rise, and you'll sometimes, sometimes I will carry a handheld with me, and I just put the elk in the trunk already assembled, and I'd stop. Sometimes I stopped on the side of a road some places when it was coming overhead and been able to get into the SO-50, the Saudi sat, which is a FM satellite as well, but it's a lot more difficult because it doesn't have as much power. But the International Space Station is probably the easiest one to hear right now. I mean, since they increased the power and got new radios up there. And they still, the astronauts still get on occasionally. They don't have a set time. Sometimes you'll hear them on, and you just have to catch them. And their call sign is NA1ISS. And you'll hear that's the American side, and the Russian side is RSZ or ISS. Sometimes you'll hear the Russians on too, but you know, generally they don't speak English. But the APRS digipeater is a lot of fun too, but you have to have a radio that's capable of that. But you can hear the packet burst. I've heard it on a scanner with a rubber ducky out in the backyard.
Yeah, I do know that it's hit or miss on the ISS, that sometimes they aren't transmitting. But on my little app, when I'm looking for satellites, I only have five logged in. One is AO07, AO27, AO91, and then the ISS, and then the SO50. And let me know if I'm on the right track.
Probably the easiest ones to hear. SO50 is pretty loud, just busy as heck when it goes over. I've got maybe 10 or 15 or so contacts on SO50. Matter of fact, I got some of these satellite contacts, they send QSL cards. I got a QSL card from a guy in New York where I worked him on this SO50 earlier this year in Texas, and Miami, Florida, and I can hear on the space station. If it's coming in from the southwest, you can hear a lot of calls in Texas. And there's a guy that's got a really strong signal. I think he's out of Panama. You can hear him sometimes. I hadn't been able to work him yet, but I worked multiple stations in Texas and Florida, and even in Georgia, and as far north as I worked a guy in North Dakota earlier this year too. When it's not like completely vertical up, if the pass is going to be like the maximum elevation is going to be like 40 degrees or 30 degrees, you got a little better chance of hearing stations and contacting stations further away because the path of the satellite just covers more territory at that lower elevation. And when it's vertically, you're generally not going to hear. You're going to hear people closer to you. And, sometimes you can catch it just as it comes over the horizon. You can start hearing people, from 800,000 miles away. But you can't do that when it's a high pass because the footprint of the satellite is just not as great.
Yeah, that makes sense. If the satellite's right over you, the footprint's right over you. The satellite is about three-quarters of the way past, what's the same, heading towards over Maine, there's a better chance you'll get contact in that area because it's between you and Maine, yeah. That makes sense. But wow, this is good information. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. But I don't plan on trying to talk. I might try to talk. I have a transmit button, but I just want to keep it simple. I just want to be able to hear and just make sure that the elk antenna is working. But I have a feeling it's going to be just fine.
If you hear Monday, if you can get the uplink correctly and keep that downlink working, and the ideal radio to use is something, what I use is a dual band gauge, just a full duplex. I can actually hear myself, through the uplink. I can hear myself on the downlink with a full duplex radio, which you can't do with a lot of radios, but it's not that's supposedly the best way to do it. But as long as you got that uplink in there, you can certainly give it a shot. And a lot, you may be surprised somebody can hear you on your 5 watts is really about all they recommend. I run a little more than that since I'm inside, but you know, I work quite a few stations on 5, 6 watts with the Elk. It's a great antenna. And it's easy to twist it around because you're not fighting two different, you know, with the air antenna where they're cross polarized with the 2 meter, you know, in a 440 cross like that, a 435 cross like that, you're kind of twisting around more with an Elk since they're all on the same plane. You can kind of, you know, twist around for the receive, and I don't have to twist the Elk around as much as I do the air, and I do have an air as well. And I do about as well on the Elk as I do the air. The air is a little bit more, it's got a little bit better notch in it. You can hear stations on 4-4 and on the downlink a little bit better, but it's really not, you know, the way it's set up now for the space station, they've got enough power. You don't need a real high gain antenna.
I've got a buddy that he knows that I got the Elk antenna, so he got the Arrow. So that's good, so we can compare. But I have heard that the Arrow antenna is a little more forgiving. If you just kind of aim it in that direction, you'll kind of pick up signals. It's kind of easy, kind of slightly easier to dial in. And the Elk antenna, you got to be a little more precise. But I also heard that they're both equally just as good. But I like the Elk because, I want to be able to throw it in a backpack. And I don't want to have to totally disassemble it. I want to just bring it in the house, throw it behind the door, and be done with it. So far, so good. But the real test is tomorrow.
I think the Elk is a little more forgiving. It's got a little bit wider. The radiation pattern on the Elk is a little bit wider because it is basically five elements. There are five dipoles aligned, and they don't ever specify the gain on it. But you don't have to have a lot of gain. It's not quite as directional on the downlink on a 440 downlink as the air is. But I don't have too much trouble hearing anything with it. I've worked SO-50 and AO-91 and AO-92. You know, when some of these satellites are not fully operational, AO-27 is only good, when the batteries are charging on it, and some of the other ones are not. The uplinks and downlinks on them, they prefer sometimes. You have to kind of keep an eye on that. If you'll log in, if you're on Facebook, if you log in to, and get on the AMSAT, AMSAT, the AMSAT Facebook page, you can see sometimes where they've changed the downlink, because the downlink on some of the satellites goes from, it reverses from VHF up to UHF up, and vice versa. So you have to kind of know which one to listen to on AO. I think, I can't remember if it's 92 or 91 now, but AO-27 is a little bit tougher because the battery will shut down on it if it's not in daylight.
No, I did look at one of the five satellites that I mentioned. I did read that it was, I might be mistaken, let me know, but it was solar powered, so if you're trying to chase it at night, you might not have so much luck, but if it's during the daylight and it's charged with the solar panels, then you'll have a better chance of hearing it, but that's what I understood.
They all have some solar, you know, that's how they charge the batteries, but the AO-27 has had problems since it was launched. It's had one of the cells on it is not good. It runs out of charge pretty quickly, and the control operator will turn it off.
AO-27.
It was a great satellite now. I mean, it's when it's working, it's good. It's solid. I mean, I've gotten into it once or twice over the last year, but it'll be on for just, sometimes it'll only be on for maybe 12, 13 minutes over North America, and that's it. I mean, you won't hear it again.
So, I just wrote down AO-27 is so-so. Sometimes not.
Exactly right. And if you'll go to the, you can also, if you go to the AMSAT website, you get a list of satellites that'll tell you, because, again, some of these satellites require a tone to turn them on. Most of the time, they're okay. Now, you won't get into ISS repeater, voice repeater, without the tone on all the time, but some of these other satellites have to be reset occasionally. So, it may be SO-50 has, and I had one memory in one of my radios where if SO-50 wasn't on, I had to use that uplink frequency with the tone on it to turn it on. And so some of those, at least one of the satellites, you have to have a tone to turn it on. But as I said, most of the time somebody's already done it by the time it comes over our part of the country. But if you go to AMSAT and check out all the stuff on there, it'll give you a little bit better idea. And actually, AMSAT also has a, I don't have the computer in front of me now, but AMSAT also has a, that's a little deal there where you can, they've got, I can't remember what it's called now, but they've got a deal there where you can actually see which satellites have been heard by people and how it lists quite a few of them on there, and people send in their reception reports, and that way you can tell if the satellites are active or not. I can't remember what part of that web page is on, but you should be able to access that through the AMSAT website.
Yeah, I'll definitely check out the AMSAT website and look into all that. You've been really helpful, and I'm really into that. I'm also doing soda activations, because I'm almost 50 now, but back in my 20s, I used to climb mountains. I climbed Devil's Tower, Grand Teton, climbed in Yosemite. But now I'm not so in shape, but I can still hike. But so the soda activations are something I'm wanting to get into as well. So, you can find me on QRZ, and we can message each other about the satellite stuff, because I'm really into that also. So, yeah, I'm glad we had this conversation.
Give me a call sign again so I'll be sure and write it down. I think I had a pencil here, but I got a pencil.
It is Kilo Oscar 4, Juliet Kilo Victor. This is Duncan at Asheville, KO4 JKV.
Okay, I got it, Duncan. I imagine it'd be kind of hard using a wedge in your fingers and holding it onto the side of a mountain while you maybe put the elk in your teeth or something and use it that way.
Those rock climbing days are over. I'm afraid of heights now, believe it or not. I used to climb those mountains, but now I watch videos of people climbing, and I just gives me the willies. But, I don't even step close to the edge anymore to look down. But I do like hiking, and I always go get on Mount Pisgah or a mountain like that. And I just think it'd be nice to see how far I can get out on UHF and VHF. With the elk antenna, keep it simple.
My son does a good bit of hiking. Sometimes when we go up in the, we do a little fishing up around Oconee State Park, and sometimes when we go up there, I haven't lately, but I used to throw my elk in the trunk of the car and take it up there and try to see what I could do off some of those overlooks up there, because you're pretty high. You're above, a couple places you're above 2,000 feet, but the vegetation's so thick you can't really get out up there very well unless you're on a highway or something. But, I've done that a time or two. I never did much other than just bouldering. I never did any real rock climbing or anything, not anything serious like that. We used to go up Crowder's Mountain and do a little climbing up there, but that's been 40 years ago.
I was just wild and crazy, I guess. I got into climbing when I was about 20 years old, and then I'd climb at New River Gorge, West Virginia, just about every weekend, and then I'd go to climb at Red River Gorge in Kentucky about every weekend. And once a year, a climbing buddy of mine would go out west and climb big, huge, enormous mountains. and had so many close calls, had so many bad injuries. And now, when I watch a video on YouTube of people climbing, I almost get into a panic attack. I just don't understand how I ever did that.
Climbing is, it is. I mean, you got to be in such good shape. And, I'm not very tall, and you really have to be, in order to be really good at it, you have to be tall, got long legs, got a lot of reach. Because sometimes those holes just aren't, they aren't made for somebody 5'9".
Maybe so, but I'm about 5'8½", and I climb some big stuff.
Always, I never felt comfortable. I never felt like I could reach some of the things, and I wouldn't quite. I didn't do a lot of risk either, because when I was in my 20s, I had a couple of kids, so I had to be a little more careful. But it always intrigued me, and I always liked to watch it. But it's like one guy told me. He said, "You know, when you get above 40 feet, he said, doesn't make any difference anyway." I said, "Yeah, it does too." I said, "Sure." I said, "You get up on a building somewhere, and watch these steel workers move around on these high rise buildings." I said, "Dude, if that doesn't make you cringe, nothing does."
During my rock climbing days, one of my friends got me a job at a tower crew. The name of the company was Hayden Tower Company in Topeka, Kansas. And we constructed cell phone towers and repaired FM towers to North Dakota, South Dakota, Kansas, and Illinois. And we built towers and we'd repair antennas. And that was more scary than rock climbing.
We have a ham on here that comes in here usually in the morning, Tom, N0TR. He's from Kansas. And I was telling him, I've got a friend of mine that lives in Indiana. I think he's going to retire in a couple of years, but he does some of that tower work. He changes these lights on top of some of these, 2,000-foot transmission towers. And I told him, I said, "I don't see how in the world you do that." He said, "Well, it's not the height." And he said, as long as you got everything, you're protecting, got everything hooked up right. He said, "It's the wind and the climb up there." He said, "You think about climbing up there with all that equipment." He said, "These bulbs, he changes light bulbs." He said, "These bulbs aren't light either." He said, "These things are heavy." And I think a lot of it, they bring stuff in by chopper now, I think some of it. But he's been doing it 25 years, and I think he told me he's gotten about another year, and that's about it for him.
When I did that, that was in the early 90s, and there wasn't any safety cables or anything. You had a lanyard that you had on your harness that once you climbed to the spot you're supposed to work on, then you could, strap your lanyard on so you can work, with your hands free, but then you had to climb to another section. You're just climbing on your own. And there was a time in Indiana that we were starting this tower. The tower wasn't even tightened down, so as you got close to the top, you could just pull back and forth and let the whole thing rock. But it was covered with ice, and we had to get up there, so we actually had to bust ice off of the metal with our hammers so we can keep climbing up. That was some scary work.
I didn't pay you enough for it either, I'm sure.
It's like $9.50 an hour, but it was 70 hours a week. It was 7 days a week, no day off ever. And they paid for your hotel and gave you $90 a day per day.
All those jobs, they all sound hard because they are hard. But anyway, I'm going to have to jump off here in a minute, Dan. If I got your call down, and I'll look you up at QRZ, and I'll send you an email or whatever. And then if you, like I said, check on some of those websites and keep digging on that satellite stuff, because if you're going to be out and about and it'd be at any elevation where you can see the risers, you got a really good chance of getting a good lock in on the International Space Station, especially in a lot of those apps. You can see it. It's as big as a football field. If you get above those city lights, at night, it's pretty easy to see going across the sky. If you get out of Greenville, Asheville, and kind of get out in the mountains somewhere, it's a lot easier to see. I mean, you can see, and with a telescope or even with a good pair of binoculars, you can see the individual solar panels on it because it's not really a high. But it's a, when, once you see it, you'll say, how in the world did I miss that thing? It's so big.
Well, I do got a good pair of binoculars, so I'll check that out. But I have a good feeling about tomorrow. And, yeah, as long as I get to hear something, even just the fact that I can get outside in this COVID nonsense, it's a victory. But I had a great conversation with you. And, yeah, if you want to reach out, that'd be good. And, yeah, it's one of the best conversations I've had on ham radio so far, so I appreciate it. This is Kilo Oscar 4, Julia Kilo Victor, Duncan in Asheville, and I'll be clear.
Okay, Ducky, you have a good evening. I hope you have a good experience tomorrow. And if, when you get done with it, if you get home back in time to check in tomorrow night, I'll be kind of listening on the net tomorrow night on this machine to see what kind of adventure you might have. Be safe, whatever you do. Good talking with you. It was a good conversation. Really nice to talk to you. I've talked to you one time before, I think, but really nice to talk to you. Have a good evening, and hope you have a really good experience tomorrow. Kilo Oscar 4, Juliet Kilowatt Victor, N4 DJC, clear.
I try to check into the net every night, but if I can't, it's because of other circumstances, but if I do have a good night tomorrow, because I made some sort of satellite connection, I'll definitely check in. I'll let you know. Thanks so much again. KO4, JKB, Duncan, clear.